Praise the Lord. Thank God for all of you that are joining us. I'm your host, Pastor Mark Copeland, and this present truth is on the air. Let's pray together. Father, how we thank and bless you for gathering us together. As we open the Word of God today, we pray that you would enlighten us to the truths of the Scripture. Lord, that you give us a heart, Lord, that is sensitive to what you're saying and open to receive truth. Thank you, Lord God, that the Holy Spirit reveals things to us by the Spirit of God, and we trust that you will even do that during this episode. Holy Spirit, that you will unveil Jesus just a little bit more to us than we had before we came on the air today. Thank you for your help, for in Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Amen. We thank God for those of you that are joining us. We're grateful to the Lord for the opportunity that we have to share the Word of God. Would you open your Bibles or grab your devices? Let's look in John's Gospel, chapter 5. John's Gospel, chapter 5. I'd like to start reading at the 17th verse. Jesus said something very profound that I would like for us to prayerfully consider today as we look at this passage in John 5. Verse 17 says, "But Jesus answered them, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he had not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God." To the mind of the Jew, if you ever mentioned that God was your Father, they took that to mean that you were equal in some aspects as God himself. Because of that, verse 19, "Then answered Jesus and said unto them," very important that you hear this, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise." Why? Why is this so important? "For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raiseth the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him." Let me stop there. There's a flow of the text that continues all the way to the end of the chapter in what Jesus is pointing at. But I wanted us to pause for a moment and consider the work of God. This that was being raised by the Jews had to do with the Father working through the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus begins in answering them by saying, "My Father works up until now, and I work." If you notice the response of the Lord Jesus Christ from the Pharisees, scribes, other Jews, whether they were interrogating him or tempting him, he always pointed to the Father. He always made manifest the relationship that he had with his Father. And verse 18, when he said in verse 17, "My Father works up until now, and I work." Notice that verse 17 in the Amplified Classic, "My Father has worked even until now. He has never ceased working. He is still working, and I too must be at work," or divine work. They were having a hard time putting together how the Father actually operated through Jesus. They were trying to understand it in a context that didn't make sense to the Jewish mind. So that when Jesus came and said, The Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. They began to question the nature of that relationship. Here's what I want you to see, brothers and sisters, those of you that are with us today. Jesus says that he only does what he sees the Father do. This gives us some insight on us as replacement sons being led by the Spirit of God. We know that in Romans chapter 8, they that are led by the Spirit are the sons of God. We know that. Jesus is pointing to that leadership, and he's giving credit to the Father as his guidance. Now, I want you to notice in verse 19, he says, "Verily I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son." Now, let's read this in another translation. If you don't, not with the thous and the these and the doest and the dusts and all that. Let me read it to you in the New King James. He says in verse 19, "Then Jesus answered and said to them, Most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner." I want you to understand how Jesus is led to do something. How does Jesus know when to perform a miracle or what to do? He always saw the Father do it first. Notice again what he says. He says, the Son can do nothing of himself. He's the Son of God in this case. The Son can do nothing of himself. I'm not here doing my own thing. Like some people thought, Jesus could just do whatever he want. You know, he could go down to the pool of Bethesda and he could speak to one man and that one man gets healed. He's been in that situation 38 years, and Jesus just one out of all the sick people he's stepping over, it's one that the Father says he wants healed, and that one is the one that Jesus goes to. He says the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. So get this, brothers and sisters, everything that we see Jesus doing by way of his ministry, miracles, everything that we see him doing in Scripture, he didn't do it on his own accord. He saw the Father do it first. His communion with the Father was so close. If the Father wanted him to heal somebody, he would see the Father do it first. And then the Son, Jesus, would do likewise. In other words, they worked together in harmony with each other. They never acted independent of one another. That's what I love about the Godhead. You can't divide the Godhead. You can't get the Holy Ghost to say something evil about Jesus. No, Jesus said, "He shall receive of mine and then show it unto you." They're not divided. They understand the role that they're to play in the life of every child of God. And we see, even in the life of Jesus, how he goes about his daily duties as the Son of God. Man, it's such a great responsibility. How does he handle it? He only does the things that he sees the Father do. The man healed at the pool of Bethesda. Jesus healed and ministered to him because he saw the Father heal him first. Lazarus being raised from the dead. Maybe the reason he stayed 4 extra days is so that the Father could reveal to him that you're going to go and raise him up. He even told the disciples what he was going to do and even said it in a way that they wouldn't even understand that Lazarus had died. He said, "Our friend Lazarus sleepeth." If you check it out, and I think it's John chapter 11, he says, "Our friend Lazarus is asleep." And for whatever the reason, he stayed 4 days longer and then said, "I'm glad I did that for your sakes." You think God had the setup already laid out? You think Jesus didn't know what was about to happen at the tomb of Lazarus? He did know. How? The Father showed him that the prayer time of Jesus, the solitary place that had developed according to Mark chapter 1, verse 35. Every morning, the Bible says, Mark 1, 35, talks about the prayer life of our Lord. And it says that he would arise early in the morning. In the morning, rising up a great while before day, went out and departed into a solitary place. And there he prayed. We see that Jesus had a place where he prayed. It was a solitary place. It wasn't a place of interruption. It wasn't a place for his phone or text messages. It was a solitary place. And there he prayed. Hey, brothers and sisters, maybe we don't understand the simplicity of seeing what the Father does like Jesus, which is why we have a hard time following him. Which is why at times it's difficult to be led and guided and directed by the Spirit of God when Jesus says, I don't do anything until I see the Father do it first. Is there another New Testament passage that can link us to this same model following the Holy Spirit? Absolutely. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13. Philippians chapter 2. And verse 13, very familiar passage of scripture. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Now, verse 12 kind of brings it in context as well. We'll read 12 and 13 together. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Why does our salvation need to be worked out? For it is God which worketh in you. The salvation experience is worked out because God works from within. God works from the inside out, brothers and sisters, not from the outside in. No. Christ begins on the inside of us. Thou desirest truth in the secret parts, the Bible says in Psalm 51. So understand that the leading of the Lord is supposed to come from within, for it is God who is at work where? In you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So as we understand how Jesus was led, guided, and directed, let's understand that we're responsible to be led, guided, and directed the very same way. Jesus said, I only do those things I see the Father do. We should be saying, I only do those things I see the Lord Jesus do, or I hear what the Lord Jesus says. I'm following his lead. I'm not establishing my own patterns. I'm not doing my own thing just because I discovered I have some authority in the earth or some power to manifest. No. In humility, I stay connected to the Lord Jesus Christ, and I allow his grace and mercy to flow through me, that's not mine anyway, outward to be the blessing that it's supposed to be to the lives of God's people. Brothers and sisters, when were we ever supposed to be anything other than channels? Channels only is what that song says. Blessed Master, channels only is what we're supposed to be, not owners. Not these special people that no one else is like and our anointing is so unique and unusual. No, it's not. It's the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and it's no different than any other anointing that God is using a person in service to the kingdom. We've turned this into something that it is not. And brothers and sisters, it has brought major division to the body of Christ. These so-called called people. And they can just do anything under the anointing and it's still true. No, false. Beware of false teachers, false prophets. Jesus, the Bible even says, Satan himself can transform himself into an angel of light. So we shouldn't be impressed with manifestations. Believers don't follow the signs. Signs follow the believers. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they'll cast out devils. I know you don't believe in it, but they'll speak with new tongues. They'll take up serpents. If they eat and drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. That's proof that Christ is actually working through the individual. That's the manifestation. It's not that individual working for Christ. No, Christ is the worker. God is the worker of all his works, the Bible says. Known to God are all his works. Who's the one working? Are we working for God? No, he's working, but through a human vessel. This is what we see in Jesus. Again, let me read it. Verily I say unto you, the Son can't do nothing of himself. I can't do what I want to do. Lord, what do you do then? What I see the Father do. What things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. Now, because the obedience of the Son to obey the Father, it brings and births a love from the Father. For the Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things that he himself does. Notice, brothers and sisters, that this love from the Father is actually bringing more revelation to the Lord Jesus Christ. Shows him all things that he himself does. Listen, and will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. Notice that what's coming forth as the greater works is coming as something that is revealed to the Lord Jesus Christ. He showeth him all things. He will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. Why is putting the Son on display so important? Verse 21, for as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. Now, this may be an act of the Holy Spirit, but we see who the initiator of this act is. It's the Father. He raises the dead and he quickens the dead also. Now, he extended that same power to his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he can quicken and raise from the dead. You see this throughout the rest of John's chapter 5, what he's saying. He said, the Father judges no man, but committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. Uh-oh. We got a problem here with beliefs, Jehovah's Witnesses, that are trying to make Jehovah God and the Son two separate people altogether. No, they're the same. You just don't understand by revelation that the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost are all wrapped up, tied up, tangled all up together. You couldn't divide them if you tried. The Holy Spirit is not an active force, sir. That's error. And that taints the legitimacy of your gospel, which means that the gospel that you preach without the Holy Spirit has no power to save. You guys are baptizing people by the thousands, be bringing them into the Colosseum to have major baptism services and stuff. But unfortunately, none of those people are born again. What a sad tragedy that we have a whole religious section of people called Jehovah's Witnesses, which is more like Jehovah Wickedness. They're not saved. How can you be saved and you don't believe in the Holy Spirit? It's false teaching, and they're going to be knocking on your door this Saturday talking about, oh, we want to make sure you're reading the Bible and the kingdom and all of this. They're talking about a kingdom that doesn't have a king. I always invite them in because they're already confused and sit down and share the gospel because they've never heard the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, that without his death, we could never be born again. Do you understand that all in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. If you die in Adam, you didn't make it. It's not how much you sin, how many times you've been married, who your mama and daddy is. I ain't got nothing to do with it. If you've been genuinely born from above, there's a mentality and a life that comes with that. My brother, my sister, how do you feel about God the Son? Is he connected to the Father and one with him? We read in so many passages where Jesus is claiming that he himself is God. Colossians emphasizes this importance primarily because of the false teaching of the circumcision in their day. Hear what he says in Colossians when he has to emphasize the supremacy of Christ. Notice how he does it in chapter 1. I love this. In chapter 1, he says in verse 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood. Of course, he could be speaking of no one else but the Lord Jesus Christ, who redeemed us through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Notice verse 15, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him, the Lord Jesus Christ, were all things created, everything, by the Lord Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. It was the Word that became flesh that we get Jesus. Do you see, brothers and sisters? He says, for by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, or powers. Listen, all things were created by him and for him. How can we divide the Godhead? Brothers and sisters, can I help you understand something? Everything in heaven is about Jesus. Everything. Everything about heaven has to do with Jesus, the Son of God. So here, I want you to see that he is preeminent. Verse 17 is where we'll stop. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. The Lord Jesus Christ. He has preeminence over everything, which means there is no standing second with Jesus. He's everything that the Father wanted. Did you know that about the Lord Jesus Christ? Or is he constantly competing for first place in your heart? Because there's already somebody sitting on the throne of your heart. You. The Lord's been trying to dethrone you for years, but for whatever the reason, you just keep getting right back up there in that seat to where you're running everything while you try to drag Jesus with you all over. That's not how the life works, brothers and sisters. That's not how the life works. You don't drag Jesus to where he don't want to go. No. You follow in discipleship so that you can learn him. I'm reminded of Matthew 11, verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavily laden, and I'll give you rest. That's what you get for coming. If you come, I'll give you rest. Then he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. That's rest mentioned a second time. And the second time rest is mentioned is tied to soulish rest. What do I need? That's what I need, man of God. Hey, that's what I need. Soulish rest. My mind needs rest. It's all over the place. I can't rest because my mind is running all over. I'm thinking about this. I got to get this done. I got to get that done. This is going on next week. Got to go by and see this. Got to handle this and that. When does the soul get rest? He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. That, brothers and sisters, is the yoke of discipleship. You have to take it. What's the purpose of it, Pastor Mark? To learn Jesus. You say, I know Jesus. I know. But in discipleship, you learn him all over again. This time, you have an onboard audio visual with you. You have a discipler in your life who you can see Jesus through. And you have Christ living in you, who's becoming the Lord of your existence now, since you've yielded your life to him. My brother, my sister, does the Lord have this kind of access into your life? Or are you trying to get back there? All things were created by him and for him. Everything that was created, including you, was created for the Lord Jesus Christ. He purchased you. You ever read that passage? You're not your own, you're bought with the price. Therefore, glorify God in your bodies, which are God's. Everything belongs to him. There is nothing outside the boundaries of his rule and authority. I'd like to pray today, and I would like for us to consider how we, like Jesus, As Jesus only did those things he saw the Father do, we need to make a commitment to make sure that we only do those things we see the Holy Spirit doing. Is this the Spirit of God guiding me? Is this the Holy Spirit leading me? Or is this something that I want? Is this my desire? Or is this the longing desire of God and he wants me to respond in this way? Would you like to pray about that today? Too many are trying to discern between what's me and what's the Holy Spirit. Well, the Holy Spirit has separate desires than we have, and we have to learn how to let his desires rule our hearts and not our own. Yield is the word that's needed to understand how the ministry of the Holy Spirit works. Yield, give him the right of way. Let him go first. When you get to the intersection and you need to make a decision, let the Holy Spirit go first. Yield to the Holy Spirit and he'll guide you. Father, I want to thank you today for these that are viewing. I have a strong sense in my heart, Lord, that not many of your people have learned how to be led, guided, and directed by your Spirit. So we get stuck in certain areas, Lord, where we don't know how to move forward. We're used to leading our own life, and now we're trying to learn how to yield to the Holy Spirit. And often there's a breakdown in communication, usually from our side of things. So we ask today that you would help us. Show us mercy, Lord. Thank you for not giving us what we justly deserve. Thank you for determining that what's needed is a relationship with you, the Son of God. Holy Spirit, would you get involved in this relationship and unfold the redemptive plan of God to us so that we can embrace it and engage in this new creation life? Help us, Lord. So many are wandering here and there, not knowing that the Holy Spirit leads, guides, and directs sons of God. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us back to that starting point. Thank you for unfolding that which was a mystery but has now become a regular knowing in our knower as the Holy Spirit unfolds the will of God to us. By way of your will and your word. Thank you, Father God, for helping us today. We continue to let you lead, and we willingly choose to follow. Thank you, Father God, that you will continue to unfold your mind to us. For your word says that we have the mind of Christ. Thank you, Lord, for in Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Amen. We thank God for all of you that are joining us. By God's grace, we'll be back next week for another episode. I'm Pastor Mark Copeland. This Present Truth is signing off. We'll see you next week by God's grace.